Today is the 20th day of June. Welcome. Welcome back to the Global Campfire. Welcome back to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Oh man, it's great to be here. I'm so grateful for the little oasis that we carve out each day in our lives. A place of peace, a place of safety, a place to take another step forward in our lives, a place to open our hearts in a very healthy and safe way to the scriptures and what they have to say in our lives. Thrilled, actually, so grateful to be here with you today. And, we've come to do that, another step forward, and so let's pick up where we left off. We're working through the book of 1 Kings at this point, tracking with the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel. They are two kingdoms now, and so we're kind of back and forth. Today we'll kind of be with two different kings, one from Judah, one from Israel, together, and a prophet and a story. 1 Kings chapter 22. For 3 years, there was no war between Aram and Israel. In the third year, King Jehoshaphat of Judah went to visit the king of Israel. The king of Israel asked his staff, "Do you know that Ramoth and Gilead belongs to us, and we are doing nothing to take it back from the king of Aram?" Then he asked Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to fight at Ramoth and Gilead?" Jehoshaphat told the king of Israel, "I will do what you do. My troops will do what your troops do. My horses will do what your horses do." Then Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "But first, find out what the Lord's word is in this matter." So the king of Israel called 400 prophets together. He asked them, "Should I go to war against Ramoth and Gilead or not?" "Go," they said. "The Lord will hand over Ramoth to you." But Jehoshaphat asked, "Isn't there a prophet of the Lord whom we could ask?" The king of Israel told Jehoshaphat, "We can ask the Lord through Micaiah, son of Imlah, but I hate him. He doesn't prophesy anything good about me, only evil." Jehoshaphat answered, "The king must not say that." The king of Israel called for an officer and said, "Quick, get Micaiah, son of Imlah." The king of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah were dressed in royal robes and seated on thrones. They were on the threshing floor at the entrance to the gate of Samaria. All the prophets were prophesying in front of them. Zedekiah, son of Kenaanah, made iron horns and said, "This is what the Lord says. With these horns you will push the Arameans to their destruction." All the other prophets made the same prophecy. They said, "Attack Ramoth in Gilead and you will win. The Lord will hand it over to you." The messenger who went to call Micaiah told him, "The prophets have all told the king the same good message. Make your message agree with their message. Say something good." Micaiah answered, "I solemnly swear as the Lord lives, I will tell him whatever the Lord tells me." When he came to the king asked him, "Micaiah, should we go to war against Ramoth and Gilead or not?" Micaiah said to him, "Attack and you will win. The Lord will hand it over to you." The king asked him, "How many times must I make you take an oath in the Lord's name to tell me nothing but the truth?" So Micaiah said, "I saw Israel's troops scattered in the hills like sheep without a shepherd. The Lord said, 'These sheep have no master. Let each one go home in peace.'" The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Didn't I tell you he wouldn't prophesy anything good about me, only evil?" Micaiah added, "Then hear the Lord's word. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and the entire army of heaven was standing near him on his right and his left. The Lord asked, "Who will deceive Ahab so that he will attack and be killed at Ramoth in Gilead?" Some answered one way while others said something else. Then the Spirit stepped forward, stood in front of the Lord and said, "I will deceive him." "How?" the Lord asked. The Spirit answered, "I will go out and be a spirit that tells lies through the mouths of all Ahab's prophets." The Lord said, "You will succeed in deceiving him. Go and do it." So the Lord has put into the mouths of all these prophets of yours a spirit that makes them tell lies. The Lord has spoken evil about you. Then Zedekiah, son of Kenaanah, went to Micaiah and struck him on the cheek. "How did the Lord's spirit leave me to talk to you?" he asked. Micaiah answered, "You will find out on the day you go into an inner room to hide." The king of Israel then said, "Send Micaiah back to Ammon, the governor of this city, and to Joash the prince. Say, this is what the king says. Put this man in prison and feed him nothing but bread and water until I come home safely." Micaiah said, "If you really do come back safely, then the Lord wasn't speaking through me. Pay attention to this, everyone." So the king of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah went to Ramoth in Gilead. The king of Israel told Jehoshaphat, "I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you should wear your royal robes." So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. The king of Aram had given orders to the 32 chariot commanders. He said, "Don't fight anyone except the king of Israel." When the chariot commander saw Jehoshaphat, they said, "He must be the king of Israel." So they turned to fight him. But when Jehoshaphat cried out, the chariot commanders realized that he wasn't the king of Israel. They turned away from him. One man aimed his bow at random and hit the king of Israel between his scale armor and his breastplate. Ahab told his chariot driver, "Turn around and get me away from these troops. I'm badly wounded." But the battle got worse that day, and the king was kept propped up in his chariot facing the Arameans. He died that evening. The blood from the wound had flowed into the chariot. At sundown, a cry went through the army. "Every man to his own city. Every man to his own property." When the king was dead, he was brought to Samaria to be buried. His chariot was washed at the pool of Samaria where the prostitutes bathed. The dogs licked up his blood as the Lord had predicted. Isn't everything else about Ahab? Everything he did, the ivory palace he built, and all the cities he fortified written in the official records of the kings of Israel? Ahab lay down in death with his ancestors. His son Ahaziah succeeded him as king. Jehoshaphat, son of Asa, became king of Judah in Ahab's fourth year as king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he began to rule, and he ruled for 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah, daughter of Shilhi. Jehoshaphat carefully followed the example his father Asa had set and did what the Lord considered right. But the illegal worship sites were not torn down. The people continued to sacrifice and burn incense at these worship sites. Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel. Isn't everything else about Jehoshaphat, the heroic acts he did and the wars he fought, written in the official records of the kings of Judah? He rid the land of the male temple prostitutes who were left there from the time of his father Asa. There was no king in Edom. Instead, a deputy ruled. Jehoshaphat made Tarshish-style ships to go to Ophir for gold, but they didn't go because the ships were wrecked at Ezion-Geber. Then Ahaziah, son of Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, "Let my servants go with your servants in the ships." But Jehoshaphat refused. Jehoshaphat lay down in death with his ancestors and was buried with them in the city of his ancestor David. his son Jehoram succeeded him as king. Ahaziah, son of Ahab, became king of Israel in Samaria during Jehoshaphat's 17th year as king of Judah. Ahaziah ruled Israel for 2 years. He did what the Lord considered evil. He followed the example of his father and mother and of Jeroboam, Nebat's son, who led Israel to sin. Ahaziah served Baal, worshipped him, and made the Lord God of Israel furious, as his father had done. Acts 13, 16-41. Then Paul stood up, motioned with his hand, and said, "Men of Israel and converts to Judaism, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our ancestors and made them a strong nation while they lived as foreigners in Egypt. He used his powerful arm to bring them out of Egypt, and he put up with them for about 40 years in the desert. Then he destroyed seven nations in Canaan and gave their land to his people as an inheritance. He did all this in about 450 years. After that, he gave his people judges until the time of the prophet Samuel. Then the people demanded a king, so God gave them Saul, son of Kish, from the tribe of Benjamin. After 40 years, God removed Saul and made David their king. God spoke favorably about David. He said, 'I have found that David, son of Jesse, is a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.' God had the Savior, Jesus, come to Israel from David's descendants, as he had promised. Before Jesus began his ministry, John the Baptizer told everyone in Israel about the baptism of repentance. When John was finishing his work, he said, 'Who do you think I am? I'm not the person you're looking for. He will come later. I'm not even good enough to untie his sandals.' Brothers, descendants of Abraham and converts to Judaism, the message that God saves people was sent to us. The people who live in Jerusalem and their rulers didn't know who Jesus was. They didn't understand the prophet's messages, which are read every day of rest, a holy day. So they condemned Jesus and fulfilled what the prophets had said. Although they couldn't find any good reason to kill him, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had finished doing everything that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and placed him in a tomb. But God brought him back to life. And for many days he appeared to those who had come with him to Jerusalem from Galilee. These people are now witnesses and are testifying to the Jewish people about him. We are telling you the good news. What God promised our ancestors has happened. God has fulfilled the promise for us, their descendants, by bringing Jesus back to life. This is what the scripture says. In the second psalm, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father.' God stated that he brought Jesus back to life and that Jesus' body never decayed. He said, 'I will give you the enduring love promised to David.' Another psalm says, 'You will not allow your Holy One to decay.' After doing God's will by serving the people of his time, David died. He was laid to rest with his ancestors, but his body decayed. However, the man God brought back to life had a body that didn't decay. So, brothers, I'm telling you that through Jesus, your sins can be forgiven. Sins kept you from receiving God's approval through Moses' teachings. However, everyone who believes in Jesus receives God's approval. Be careful, or what the prophet said may happen to you. 'Look, you mockers, be amazed and die. I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if it were reported to you. Psalm 138. I will give thanks to you with all my heart. I will make music to praise you in front of the false gods. I will bow toward your holy temple. I will give thanks to your name because of your mercy and truth. You have made your name and your promise greater than everything. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold by strengthening my soul. All the kings of the earth will give thanks to you, O Lord, because they have heard the promises you spoke. They will sing about the ways of the Lord. The Lord's honor is great. Even though the Lord is high above, he sees humble people close up, and he recognizes arrogant people from a distance. Even though I walk into the middle of trouble, you guard my life against the anger of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand saves me. The Lord will do everything for me. O Lord, your mercy endures forever. Do not let go of what your hands have made. Proverbs 17:17-18. A friend always loves, and a brother is born to share trouble. A person without good sense closes a deal with a handshake. He guarantees a loan in the presence of his friend. Okay, so back to 1 Kings today. We have a royal meeting between Israel's King Ahab and Judah's King Jehoshaphat. And that's kind of unusual because they're pretty much at war with each other, even though they're like literally brothers and sisters, the family of Abraham. And so we also, in the middle of that, met this prophet, pretty obscure prophet named Micaiah. So Jehoshaphat, who followed the ways of God, was visiting the northern kingdom. Ahab asked if Judah would kind of align and be an ally with Israel and assist them in retaking the city of Ramoth Gilead, which had been lost in battle to the Arameans. And Jehoshaphat agreed, but then he was like, we should probably ask God about this. And so Ahab brings his 400 prophets, and they inquire whether the battle should be pursued, and they're all of one mind in agreement. Yes, you should go right ahead. The Lord will give you victory. Absolutely, take the city. You've got it. Go, go, go. But Jehoshaphat is looking for a prophet of God that he can trust. And so he kind of presses in on that. Worship in the northern kingdom included many gods. Jehoshaphat wanted a prophet of God. And so Micaiah was summoned. And when he's kind of getting briefed on what he's being called before the king for, the messengers are like, look, everybody, all of the prophets are saying the same thing. Everybody's in the same mood. Everybody's in the same mind. Victory for the king. Make sure that you fall in line with that message. Man, that kind of pressure. Wow. So when Micaiah comes before the two kings, he's kind of sarcastic because they're like, should we do this? And he's like, yeah, of course you should. Go. The Lord will give you victory. But Ahab can see the sarcasm in this and ask for the truth. And Micaiah gives the truth. I saw Israel scattered. They're scattered on the mountains. They're like a sheep without a shepherd. Their master has been killed. So he's actually prophesying the death of Ahab. Despite that, Ahab goes into battle and is killed. And at times, we're not prophesying to kings, but at times we can be in that position on the giving and receiving end. We can hear the voice of wisdom given to us by somebody who loves us and just walk into our own trap and be destroyed by it. Other times, it can be hard to really sense in our heart something true. When everybody else around our loved one is just giving them false encouragement in some sort of way and isn't willing to tell the truth. And so we're standing there and we can feel pulled into appeasing, or we can be pulled to kind of defend ourselves against mockery or anger or authority instead of speaking the truth. But humble speaking of the truth is always going to be the best choice. Humility, though, is like the only pathway to walk in these times. Humbly giving the truth, that may be the only warning a person gets. And when we're receiving humble truth, if we ignore it, it may be the only warning we get. Whether we're listened to isn't the point. That would be bringing our own stuff into, like, our own validation into it, our own pride into it. We're not responsible after that. We're responsible, especially if it's somebody that we love, to humbly speak the truth. And if it's somebody that loves us and they're humbly speaking the truth, to not then immediately rise up in defensiveness, but to pause and consider that they loved us enough to come and say it. And it might be the only warning we get. They're not responsible for us walking into our own destruction by making some horrible choices. So, humbly living in the truth is the way of life. It is the way Jesus operated and modeled in this world. But once we have humbly offered the very best that we have in love, we're not responsible for what happens next. And when we have humbly received the truth in love, they aren't responsible for what we do. But may we always humbly walk in truth, regardless. And so, Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, we invite you into that. We invite you into even how that works, how to do that, and how to offer humble truth and then be able to detach and step back and not get controlling or not get like looking for our own validation or looking for the opportunity to say, I told you so. And may we also have an open heart when you are speaking, especially when you are speaking through somebody who loves us and cares, that we would not ignore the only warning we may ever get before we walk ourselves into the wilderness and wander there in destruction. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com That is home base. It's the website. The Daily Audio Bible app is also home base. So check it out. Be connected. Stay connected. I say that often because it's a year-long journey that we're on. And we've kind of boarded this ship and sailed off together into the deep. And here we are way out near the center of the year. And man, we should be connected because we are what each other has on this journey. And so stay connected. The community section, either on the web or in the app, will give you links to the different social media channels that we participate in. And stay connected there if you're there. If you're not there, well, good for you. It's so weird to have watched social media kind of grow up right around the same times that the Daily Audio Bible did. And so to see the differences that have happened over the years, especially just, man, even if I look at it in the last 5 years, it's like, wow, this is a very, very different place than it used to be. So, yeah, I mean, it was once kind of like this wonderful kind of connection and wow, people from all over the world and catching up and stuff has become like such a, I mean, you name it, a place for betrayal. A place just to kind of leverage anger and spite. A place for marketing every conceivable thing on the planet. A place to dispense true and false news. A place for every kind of connection, good and bad, that's possible. It's fascinating. And so it is what it is, and we're there trying to be a light, especially just in the community, because that's what we are as a community here. And so we're not like out there trying to touch the entire world. It's just a connection point for the community that we have here. So if you are on social media, then make sure you connect with Daily Audio Bible and follow, and just stay connected as we take this journey. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible as we move into summertime, thank you. Thank you humbly. If what happens here every day, showing up for each other, showing up for ourselves, and having a safe place to show up, if that matters to you, if it's meaningful, thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you, and I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
This is Cynthia from Deep South Texas.
I'd like to ask all of you to pray with me for those who are dealing with chronic back problems, like my son, my daughter, my brother, who have tried every avenue to get relief, even to the point of surgery. They've had injections and physical therapy. And when I wake up in the mornings stiff myself, I get a small glimpse of what they're having to deal with on a daily basis. And it truly breaks my heart. Please pray with me that they find the right resources, the right treatment to totally get rid of their back issues. Heal them, Father, if it is your will, or guide them to the people that can help relieve this terrible, terrible pain that they're in on a daily, daily basis. Thank you for praying with me, and God bless all of you. Bye.
Good morning, everyone. I am calling in response to a young man who called in on Friday 13th in regards to him and his wife's inability to carry a child full term. I am sorry I did not catch your name, but I pray for you in the mighty name of Jesus. Please, Heavenly Father, I ask that you would be willing to bless this woman's womb and allow this baby that you have placed in her to go full term. This baby has left your hands and has been placed in her. And Lord, we know that whatever you have put forth cannot and will not come back void. I pray for your wife as I am praying for my own daughter, that we will all be rejoicing at the end of this year with two beautiful babies and a bountiful of blessings. I pray, Lord, that your hands, the only hands that can create, heal, and perform miracles, will see us through. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you.
Hey, Daily Elliot Bible family. This is the Weave calling in with an update. I got the biopsies back on the mass that they found in my colon a few weeks ago, and the biopsies show that the mass is benign. It's not cancerous. So we thank God. We praise God for that. I had a CT scan the day before my doctor visit, and the CT scan is showing that there is a lesion on my liver. So I have to go next Friday, which is the 20th of June, to have an MRI done to look at that further. So if you guys could continue to pray over that, pray over my family. Today's the 13th of June, and we had to put our oldest dog down today. It was my youngest daughter's best friend. So if you could pray over that, pray over my kids, my wife, and just as we walk through all of this, just continue to ask for your prayers and just thank you guys. Love you guys. And God bless.
Hey, Dad family. I would like to reach out this first time calling in, and I pray that, I have some praises and have some, prayer requests, but my praises are my six-year-old daughter was a couple months ago had a tumor in her brain, and we went through brain surgery, and she is out and acting like a normal six-year-old and has had zero seizures when she was having 6 day seizures before the procedure. I just want to say God's great, and I just love the prayers I've gathered over this time. But I also ask you all to pray for my friend Abby, as they found that she had tumors or spots on her brain and her stem cells, or brain stem, and then a bunch of lymph nodes. And I just pray that we pray that the God gets rid of the cancer, because she does not deserve that like nobody else does. And I thank you all very, very much, and I'm listening every day, and I love this channel so much. Thank you, and God's good.